are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. And the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, there's so much to say, and I don't want them to be my words, but yours. Lord, we live in a world that's fallen, a world where things get to us every day, and not just us, but those we love and others around us. And people have hurt every day, Lord, and we're supposed to be instrumental in helping be there for people. So help us, Lord, to listen to your words and do accordingly. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of feel for you guys, because sometimes Bryden preaches and he's a deputy coroner. So he might have some stories sometimes, like, ooh, I don't want to hear that. I go out to see people that are passing away, and I was working yesterday around 2 o'clock, and I got a phone call, can you go to Rockford? So I went up, and I spent a couple hours in a hospital getting somebody brought on to hospice. I was going to go home at 6:20. My phone rang. It was a nurse out in Schaumburg. Can you come to Schaumburg? There's a lady, her dad's, she wants some prayer. She's really feeling it. So I went to Schaumburg, and I got there. And as I sat there talking to the family, and they're telling the stories, and we're just laughing about some of the things they were saying, I looked at the patient, and the son was on the phone from Florida, and he was having a hard time. He was kicking himself because he wasn't there at the time that his sister and dad needed him most. And the kids were talking to the grandpa on the phone, and I could hear this guy beating himself up. And I just closed my eyes, and I said, God, help this guy go now. This poor guy's miserable. The son, and Lord, it'd be better for him and the family if he was at peace. And about 5 minutes later, I noticed his breathing started to change, and his daughter could see that I was watching that. And she looked at me and she said, do you see it? Yeah, I see it, but I'm not a doctor. But I do think it's close. And 5 minutes later, he was gone. And I stayed there till 12:30 that night, last night, got home at 1:30, got in bed at 2:15, and at 2:45 the phone rang, and I was off to Franklin Grove. I get to see people at the worst possible moment in their life, and I get to try to be there for them, but you know what? Every one of you may not be able to be there for people right then in that moment, but there are moments that people are having all around you every day. And we should have the wherewithal to be looking for those situations that somebody's going through, because you have the answers. You've been given the hope of Jesus and what we have when he comes again. But until then, we're supposed to be finding a way to share that message with people that find themselves in a burdensome situation. Last week, Brian spoke to you on Amos. Amos's name means burden bearer. And Amos, in his own way, kind of showed us a picture of Jesus. I don't think there's any verse where Jesus was speaking and he quoted Amos. He quoted Isaiah. He quoted other people. He didn't particularly, you can prove me wrong on this, go check it out. I don't think he ever quoted a book out of Amos, but the message Jesus spoke was totally in line with what Amos came to tell us. I'm going to give you a couple examples here. I had them up. I don't know what happened to them. That's pretty unprofessional. Amos told the disciples, or told his people in the book of Amos, he's speaking for God. I don't want to hear your songs. I don't want to hear your noise. Your hearts are far from me. Jesus said to the disciples, the Pharisees, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He called them out because their hearts were far from God too. Same message, just a different audience. Amos told us that God didn't want to hear. He told them that their hearts were far from God, but then he went on to say in other verses, God doesn't want to just hear our praises. God doesn't just want us to sit into this place and make noise. I love to come here. I love to sing. I love for us to praise God. But if that's all we come here for is just a few songs, socialize and go home, and the message, the experience doesn't change our life, doesn't make us a better witness for Jesus, then it's all for nothing. Because it's not just a social club to come here and get a good feeling and then go home and don't let anything that happens to you change you. We quoted the scripture from Matthew 5 earlier, "Ye are the light of the world." God wants us to take those experiences we have in life, and many of us have had hard times. We come to a place in life where we were brought up this way, or we had a change in our life that caused us to look at Jesus and something we didn't look at before, and burden was lifted. And if that was you, then maybe you share that story with other people at times. This is just a generic story. George endured profound suffering across many decades. He witnessed the honors of war as a soldier, lost beloved comrades on the battlefield, buried 3 children, and cared for 2 wives. Each one succumbed to cancer. Remarkably, for nearly 80 years, George carried all this alone until the final 5 years of his life. Late in life, George heard the words of Jesus from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and began to understand the invitation. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He finally spoke to Christ about the burdens he carried, the trauma of war, deaths of his loved ones, the weight of grief and loss. Then he made a decision. He began to cast these burdens on to Jesus, trusting him to carry what he himself could never bear. Within 5 years, George's life was inwardly transformed. He experienced deep rest and peace, not because his circumstances changed, but because Jesus carried the load he had carried so long. Now, this story doesn't give George's last name. And maybe some of you know a person that has a story. A story where they were on the wrong side of the fence and got to the right side of the fence. And those are the stories that impact people more than anything. Now, I always think about my grandpa. In 1978, my dad and mom moved to Illinois. My dad was really starting to really get attuned with God and wanted to do more. And he went to his own dad before he left. He said, "Dad, how can I move to Illinois to go to Bible college to learn how to tell other people about Jesus when my own father doesn't know him?" His dad looked right at him. His mom was sitting right there by him. Grandma was always going to the Methodist church every Sunday. Grandpa would go on occasion, but he didn't know Jesus. He looked right at my dad and he said, "I'll be okay." Can't remember the year. I bet you my dad can. My grandpa decided to go sit on the side of a hill in Blanchard, Michigan, where they're having a Jesus Fest. A bunch of singers were singing down at the amphitheater. Lots of people from all over the community and different churches were sitting on this hill. The gospel invitation was given, and my grandpa went down there. The mill pond isn't a place to go get baptized. It's a monkey place. So a bunch of people drove out to Halls Lake at about 7-8 miles away. Grandpa was baptized. There is a guy there at that baptism. He heard the name Mylon Eldred. Mylon Eldred. Boy, I know Dick Eldred. I'll bet you that's Dick Eldred's dad. So he started taking pictures. You kids know why we did that? We didn't have cell phones back then. You had to get your Kodak out and then take it to the store and get those pictures developed. And later on, he gave those pictures to my dad. So he actually got to see the pictures of his dad getting baptized. But my dad finally went to his dad. And these were my grandpa's words. Dick, I didn't know I didn't do this years ago. It was like a burden was lifted off from me. His words. Jesus is our burden bearer. Amos's name meant burden bearer. He showed us in his message what God had in mind for us. Because you probably know from Brian that Amos talked about social justice. And Jesus came and told those different people, here's the social justice. A woman was brought to Jesus in adultery. People were ready to stone her. That's what the law says. Stone her. And Jesus sat there writing in the sand. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. I can only imagine that he was writing, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Who knows what he was writing? But one by one, people started dropping their stones. And he said to the woman, where are your accusers? There are none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The Bible doesn't tell us who that woman was. Some people just assume it was Mary Magdalene. Maybe it was. And if it was Mary Magdalene, we know that her life changed. She followed Jesus. If it wasn't Mary Magdalene, we don't know any more about the woman. What became of her? Did she follow Jesus' advice? Did she go and sin no more? But see, she was in a certain situation where she had a burden. She felt the need to do the activities she was doing, and Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Right after that, these are the words that came out of Jesus' mouth. I am the light of the world. Now, wait a minute. We quoted at the beginning, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Right after he forgave that woman and told her to go to sin no more, he said, I am the light of the world. He was telling this woman, I am the Savior you've been waiting for. I'm the Messiah. I'm the anointed one. That's me. I'm forgiving you right now because I'm the light of the world. What I'm doing for you should be life-changing. Do something with it. And we all come to that place. Maybe we don't all go down the path where we dealt with alcoholism, or we don't all go down a path where we're addicted to porn or seeing things online that we shouldn't see and frequenting those places, or just the language you use in general, or maybe we feel the peer pressure of drug use in high school. I don't know what path you went down, or I know what path I've been down. And I know that at some point in time, you got to decide, am I going to carry these burdens alone, or am I going to turn to Jesus? And when you turn to Jesus and he truly does lift them off from you, it's life-changing. It should be. It should change who you are. It should change how you act. It should change the way you look at other people, because somebody else out there is carrying the same burden you are. Maybe a different one than what you carried, but another burden nonetheless. And Jesus is saying to you and to them, come, all you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. George went. My grandpa went. The woman caught in adultery was forgiven. And Jesus stands here today looking at us and the people around us that we know that we should be looking for ways to minister to. And he's waiting for that opportunity because he's not going to come down and go see your friend. He's wanting you to be Jesus to that friend. Jesus, there's a couple of incidents in the Bible where Jesus heals some lepers. He heals 10 lepers in one story. But in another story, in John chapter 8, I believe it is. Sorry, I don't have the verses up here. John chapter 8, I believe. It says they are out. Anybody ever watched The Chosen series? If you go on into your phone and look up The Chosen leper scene, this man walks up to Jesus. And you're not supposed to be coming up to Jesus. You're a leper. You're not supposed to be within a certain distance of anybody. You're an outcast in society. Don't come near this place. Don't go into any town. You might spread this leprosy. And these lepers had to hang out together. This leper came to Jesus and said, "If you are willing, make me clean." And Jesus said unto him, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy went away. So that leprosy today, that man's life changed after that. Now Jesus still told him, according to the rules of society, go show yourself to the priest so he can see that you're clean. Told him to go ahead and do that. You should do that because people think you're a leper, so you need to get somebody's stamp of approval that you're not anymore. That guy's life was changed, and Jesus, we should be able to look at that and go, wow, I've got burdens. Jesus is, and I should be saying to Jesus, if you're willing. And Jesus doesn't usually sit back and go, I'm not willing. He wants each and every one of us to come to him, to take our burdens and lay them upon him. We sing a lot of good songs, don't we? My burden is heavy. I found it so, I found it so. There's a bunch of songs we sing that kind of fit into that mold. Got really wonderful words. Actually, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. They're great songs. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. There's so many songs about burdens. They're all good songs, and they're all true. But do we know it? We sing a song about Jesus being the cleft of the rock. We're in the cleft of the rock. Jesus is the rock. We sing the song, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher, and he said these words, "I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the Rock of Ages." You're going through life. Jesus is supposed to be behind you. He's there. He's behind you. And here comes a wave, because why does a wave come? Because Satan knows where you're weakest. Satan knows what makes you tick. Satan knows what you have a tendency to fall down at. And over again in your life, you get hit by a wave from Satan. But who's supposed to be behind you? And is Jesus, the Rock of Ages. And Charles Spurgeon says, "I've learned to kiss the wave." Kiss the wave. You don't have to embrace the wave. But don't be afraid of the wave. I got Jesus behind me. This wave, ain't nothing. Might dash you against the Rock of Ages behind you a little bit, but he's got your back, and you get through it because you trust him. 1 Peter 5, 7, 6 through 10 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him." Count on the guy behind you, Jesus. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. There's Christians all over the world experiencing what you're going through. It's not just you. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The key verse in there is 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I already used this in Sunday school. God loves us. He put the world in motion knowing that man would fall. He put the world in motion knowing he had a backup plan, knowing that he was going to be producing a Messiah someday, because man wouldn't be able to keep the law, man wouldn't be able to even obey one rule, let alone 10 commandments. Adam and Eve couldn't even obey the first rule, just not to eat a particular fruit. I know it sounds simple and trivial, but here we are. But because God loved us, he had a plan B. Or maybe it was the whole plan altogether. He just knew he had to have this ultimate plan because man wasn't going to be able to hold his end of the bargain up. But 1 John 4:7-8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. If you can't love God, if you can't love the person you can see, how can you love God who you cannot see? So when we love one another, we look for ways. We don't see somebody stuck in sin when we used to be there too and go, maybe he'll get out. You jump in the hole with him and you show him the way out. Jesus bore the ultimate burden. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Jesus is our burden bearer. And because we love other people, because we live in a world that's fallen, because we have the chance to tell other people about the same hope that we have, unless we're just fooling ourselves and we don't really have that hope. I've kind of been down on myself a lot more lately because loving Jesus isn't about coming to this building. It's about what you do outside of it. Coming to this place is just a place to get refueled. And once you get refueled, it should make a difference in how we live our lives. I have to ask myself every day, am I making a difference? Is God really using me, or am I just going to church? Psalm 55:22 says, Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. When you get to the point in your life where you've given everything to him, you've cast all your cares on him, you've given it all to him, you've trusted him for forgiveness, you've trusted him to make it so you don't have to go through this again. And if you do fall down, you fall down a lot less and you get up a lot more and you stay up a lot more. See, Jesus understands. Jesus was tired. He got tired. He was hungry. He even said in one place that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't have a place to really sleep. His My Pillow was probably a rock. So Jesus, he's been to all those places. We know from the book of Hebrews, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unsympathetic to our needs. But was tempted as you and I are, but he without sin. Jesus was tempted. He just didn't give in to it. So today, when you're here today, I don't know what your burden is. If it's lay your burden down of perfectionism, your burden of shame, your burden of fear. Whatever that burden is, lay it down with Jesus. Make it real. And when he takes over, hopefully you can tell your kids and grandkids someday, it was like a burden was just lifted off from me. I don't know why I didn't do this years ago. I think there's a lot of Christians in the world just playing church, and it's not going to cut the mustard someday. God doesn't want us just to come in here and play church. He wants us to our lives to change. He wants us to make a difference. He wants us to do something for him in the lives of somebody we know. I do not want to... My dad used to say there are going to be a lot of people that miss the kingdom by 18 inches. They knew it up here, but it never made it here. Is it here? Is he making a difference in your life? Do you have a desire to tell people about Jesus and try to make a difference in theirs because God's giving that opportunity? I want you to think about that question as we sing our closing song, number 329, Yes, the Lord Can Depend on Me. There are fields that to harvest are white, and a reaper of joy.